Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
What is up, my friends? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. No, it is not Todd Starnes today. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd today. He is out and about doing his thing, and we are so honored to be able to get behind the microphone and fill in for him today for a midweek celebration, man. What a crazy week it's been already. I realized that under a Trump administration, whether it was last year in 2025 or whether it's this year in 2026, we're not going to have a slow news cycle. And there's always so much to talk about. It's hard to cram all of it into a program and break all of it down to keep you posted on what the heck's going on. But by golly, Todd does it every single day, and we're going to try and do the best and fill his shoes today on the program. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Again, my name is Andy Hoosier, right here moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas, my flagship station here at KQAM in Wichita. And I want to hear from you at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. I want to hear from you on all the shenanigans that are going on. I have heard the tweet rumors that ICE agents are moving their way across multiple different portions of the country. In fact, I heard last night here in Wichita, we had 70 ICE agents that actually showed up and started checking into hotels. I know, that's kind of crazy. So we'll break some of that down on what we look like with the ICE and getting rid of fraudsters, getting rid of the illegal aliens, the criminal illegal aliens, according to the Department of Homeland Security and Kristi Noem, and more. Also, Dylan, keep an eye out for me. We are going to try, if they do it sometime throughout the middle of the day during the program today, we are going to try and do the live stream and cover the Greenland, Denmark, U.S. conversations. Donald Trump has invited the leaders of Denmark, the Prime Minister of Greenland, over to the White House. They're going to have a conversation today. I can't wait to see what this looks like. Because I've said it before, I'll say it on Todd's show, that if we somehow take over Greenland and make it the 51st state, which would be freaking awesome, I will be the first one to move up there. I enjoy my colder climate. I am not happy that in Wichita, Kansas, where I'm based out of, it's been 65 degrees and sunny for the past week in January. Not okay with that. And I really want to go to a colder climate. So I'll be the first to admit that I will move up to up in Greenland very happily if I get the opportunity to do so. It sounds like that price tag could be relatively hefty, but Donald Trump wants to make it project numero uno for the administration. Will it happen or not? We'll talk about that throughout the program and see if the live stream happens anytime soon. But 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926, if you want to jump on the show with us. I really want to spend some time as we talk foreign policy. I want to break down the ongoing Iranian revolution that we're seeing right now. And the fact that we've had the internet cut out within the nation, we don't really know what's going on the inside. It's hard to really gather some intel. President Trump saying that he is trying to figure out what the heck's going on there and the potential slaughtering of thousands of people. We've heard any numbers between 3,000 up to like 20,000. That's pretty shocking off right there if that's actually happening. Then what do we do? And I ask you the question for the conservatives, for the America First movement, for the ones that are maybe non-interventionalist. It was very controversial just to go down and get Venezuela and Nicolas Maduro. I ask you, is this an America First agenda if we got involved to help out the revolution right now, trying to topple a dictator? Or is it one where we sit back, wipe our hands clean, and just wait to see what happens? I'm more optimistic now than I have been in a long time, and the fact that, and more sure that the people of Iran started this revolution and wanting to topple the Ayatollah, wanting to topple their crazy Nazi dictatorial regime, their massacring crazy dictator they have right now. They started this because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump, when he went in, he didn't start a long-term conflict. He blew up the nuclear base in Iran. He was boom, in, out. We did it in a night. No issue. They didn't even know about it. But it was over. That was pretty awesome. And I think that was a big win for America, America First, and being able to get rid of or at least downsize a little bit the nuclear plan, the projects that Iran's been trying to build after we've been telling them for years not to do so. And if that's the case, that kind of sparked something in the Iranian people that, by the way, are the majority Persian and not Muslim or Islamist, that say, hey, maybe we should do something different here. Maybe this is the opportunity for us to actually begin to fight back. Then you had the peace deal. between Iran and Israel, where we finally have a ceasefire between the two, and the Iranian people, again, at that time, said, we have nothing against the Israelis. We have nothing against the Jewish population there. We get along just fine. Why in the world is our government continuously sending drones over to Israel, wanting to harm them, wanting to blow them up? Why would we do something like that? So we have no problem with these people. And again, that seed planted in the minds of the people of Iran, do we really want to continue on allowing our government to be a puppet of China, to be a puppet of Russia, and to maybe do something just a little bit different? And again, sparking that seed because of Donald Trump. So for the America First agenda, the America First folks that are out there listening to the Todd Starnes radio program, is it in our interest as an America First agenda to assist the revolution, the uprising of the Iranian people? I got to say, probably the coolest picture I have ever seen, or the coolest video I've ever seen in my life, has been the picture, and I'm sure you've seen it, the Iranian woman that's in like the biker jacket that has her hair down. She's got the picture of the leader there that she's lighting it on fire and then lights a cigarette from that fire that's from the picture. To me, that is the coolest picture I've ever seen in my life. And that is the sign of, hey, we're no longer going to see women as like subhuman. We're actually going to take care of our people. And I think that's really neat. So the fact that they're trying to do that, would we get involved and actually help topple it? I know that most conservatives are not really the fans of regime changes, which is why it was controversial even to go into Venezuela and take care of Nicolas Maduro. But I ask you that question. Should we be involved in that or allow it just to play its cards out for the most part? 901-260-5926. Donald Trump did speak yesterday. He was up in Detroit for talking to automakers and the auto industry, and had mentioned the idea and said, hey, continue on, man. Just keep doing the revolution. We're here to support you.
To all Iranian patriots, keep protesting, take over your institutions if possible, and save the name of the killers and the abusers that are abusing you. You're being very badly abused. If the numbers are right now, I hear five different sets of numbers. I hear numbers. Look, one death is too much. But I hear much lower numbers, and then I hear much higher numbers. But I say save their names because they'll pay a very big price.
So President Donald Trump, he's been one, for whatever reason, very concerned about his legacy, very concerned about whether he's going to, quote, get into heaven. His goal is to try and create world peace. He's trying to create as many peace deals as possible. While we're not in favor of regime changes for the most part, getting rid of a crazy radical dictator who's a puppet to Russia and an adversary of ours and who slaughters their people if they try to have any type of voice or opinion at all, is that something for the betterment of humanity and for a relationship with the United States for an America First agenda? I almost see it as a possibility. I see that we could potentially see some benefit from that from our side, not to put in someone that we want, but someone that we could at least get along with a bit more and de-radicalize the Middle East, which has been an ongoing movement. We see the United Arab Emirates. We see other nations out there that are getting rid of not the Muslim population in their country, but the radical Islamist population in their nations. And that's a good sign. In fact, we've gone so far that now the United Arab Emirates apparently are ending funding of students that are going to the United Kingdom to get their education, because that's where all the radicalization is coming from. And I find that kind of weird. So the world is topsy-turvy right now. And yet at the same time, while we have the push for humanity and human rights in the nation of Iran, we have the progressive side of the aisle here in the United States that continues to just say that Donald Trump is the Nazi, Donald Trump is the fascist, Donald Trump is the racist, and that ICE, of course, is nothing more than the Gestapo coming to round people up.
You all have refused to back down. You all have decided that this resistance is not one that can be intimidated. We are showing the nation that regardless of what the tyrant in the White House believes, we know that we are here to stay, and this is our country. We are going to make a life here, and we are going to stand up for our neighbors here in Minneapolis.
All right. Now, that is none other than Ilhan Omar. I would think, and this is very fascinating to me, which I don't quite understand the concept here. We have, again, a revolution for humanity, people actually living as human beings and not as subhuman, for a woman who has to cover herself in the nation of Iran, who used to have a beautiful culture, and they could actually get an education, and they could, you you know, be entrepreneurs and they could live their life and actually show a little skin at the beach or whatever they want to do. Actually wear, you know, t-shirts and jeans and something and not the crazy garbs that they have to wear now under the current Ayatollah, that you have this humanity movement that you would think would be a universal agreement for the right and the left here in the United States. We could all get along. We could all, you know, even with our political differences here domestically, be like, hey, we're fighting for humanity. That's kind of an awesome move. And the right and the left could get together. And for some reason, the crazy radical pink hat wearing left side of the aisle that was screaming free Palestine for the past couple of years, and of course it's Zionism and it's the Jews that are taking over the Muslim world and so on and so forth, which is why they've been hating on Israel with the anti-Semitism that I never thought I would see so publicly in society today. They're really quiet. Like, they're deathly quiet with supporting the regime change right now in Iran with the revolutionists. Why? Well, we can speculate. Maybe because of Donald Trump supporting it. Maybe because they really just don't care about the movement, but it was just anti-Israel. To the point, I'm not sure if you've heard this argument or not, apparently the argument against the whole transition of regime change in Iran from the left side of the aisle, supporting it or not supporting it, is because it's a Zionist movement. I know, let that one sink in for a minute. The humanity of allowing people to be treated like a human being in Iran by toppling the Ayatollah regime is apparently, the conspiracy now is the movement from Israel wanting a more favorable nation that's likable to Israel and wanting apparently Jews to take over Iran. That's where the argument is. That's the talking points we're hearing now from the other side. But instead of focusing on the issue, the Democrats, PR, remember, here's the thing. We're in election season. It's midterm season. That means every statement, every rally, every bill proposed, everything done by politicians in the United States this year, starting right now, is a political message to try and get reelected. Democrats are really focusing not on the Iranian issue at all, but focusing on now the Gestapo of the ICE and Donald Trump being the Nazi radical fascist that he is. And if you really thought he was a dictator, you wouldn't be able to have the voice that you are right now, because then you would see what we're seeing in Iran right now with the slaughtering. What a wild world. It is a topsy-turvy one. I never thought that up was down and down was up. But here we are in Oppositeville, especially for the other side of the aisle. 901-260-5926. I want to get your thoughts on all this. Should we be involved in the revolution in Iran? Should we let it play out and potentially see a slaughtering of their population? Or is it in the America First agenda to be involved and topple that regime and then let the people choose a new leadership? We'll take a break here. It is Andy Hoosier filling in for the Todd Starnes radio program. Back after this.
Candles were lit on Bondi Beach by families, children, people of faith to celebrate a festival of light, a festival from Bible times, ones that Jesus himself celebrated. But instead of light, there was darkness, violence, fear, hatred showing itself at a time meant for prayer and rejoicing. Times like this remind us, even with the ceasefire in Israel, Jewish people are being targeted simply because of their faith. And times like this remind us why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews exists, to stand in the gap, providing safety and security to God's people. The fellowship brings together Christians and Jews to be a light to suffering Jews in Israel, the former Soviet Union, or wherever the needs are greatest. And your gift today will help provide that security that God's people so desperately need. Visit urgentifcj.org. That's one word, urgentifcj.org, or call now 866-338-IFCJ. That's 866-338-4325.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you. Andy Hoosier sitting in today for a Wednesday middle of the week celebration. 901-260-5926. Here's the insanity that we're up against. And again, this is election season, people paying a little bit more attention, midterm season, the battle rages on now with candidates trying to get their messaging out there, the platform of the parties that are coming out. I want you for just a moment to think about, while we have a regime that's in Iran in the Middle East that is slaughtering people for rising up and saying, we don't want you as a leader anymore, like literally killing them anywhere. Again, we don't know the full numbers, 3,000, 5,000, 20,000, whatever we're hearing right now. I don't really know. But regardless of what it is, even one is unacceptable. and shows that, you know, it's kind of a dictatorial regime out there. Then at the same time, the Democrats are not focused on human rights out there. Instead, they're focused on the Gestapo here in the United States. Rachel Maddow was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, which I guess Jimmy Kimmel getting renewed for another year or so. That's kind of weird. But nonetheless, was sitting down with Rachel Maddow and said, hey, these protests, the peaceful protests that we're seeing against ICE, do they really matter here in the country?
Highlight these peaceful protests on your show regularly. Do you think they do any good? Do you think that anything comes from them?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, I do. I mean, in political science terms, there's what's called the 3.5% rule, which is that if you look at authoritarian regimes of various kinds all over the world over the last, like, century, once you have 3.5% of a population protesting nonviolently against a dictator or an authoritarian, that is essentially an unstoppable force that they can't oppose, and that precludes them from consolidating dictatorial power.
3.5%.
3.5%. It's not that much larger a number than what we're already seeing in the streets against Trump.
Wait a second. So did I hear that right? A dictatorial regime that apparently is now Donald Trump, that if you have silent and peaceful protests like this, that all of a sudden now that is going to change up to 3% of the population, and we're already starting to see that. Did she just equate Donald Trump's regime as a radical dictatorial regime in the country, while at the same time we're seeing literal slaughtering of thousands of people in the Middle East, and this is where their focus is? Come on, man. That takes it to a whole new level. I mean, I get it. They have an agenda. Donald Trump's the most evil person on the face of the earth. To them, that is crazy to think that that's where we're at in society, to the point to where now we even have The View, which you can take The View with a grain of salt because they're crazy. But nonetheless, they are out there saying, where's the government to try and stop all the crazy in the world?
Where is the government? Do you realize we don't have a government?
Oh, you mean we don't have given all their power away?
Yes,
they do nothing.
This is a huge and should be our biggest bitch right now.
It is.
That should be. Yeah. Because all of this is happening because there is no one doing checks and balances.
There's no system.
Where is the government? Why aren't they doing their job?
So I'm assuming the Whoopi Goldberg, not very happy about the lack of checks and balances within the system. Dylan, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure we still have a checks and balance system in our government, right? And if Donald Trump did do some authoritative dictatorial takeover of the nation, which Democrats said at the end of last year that we're not seeing it in the future, we're not seeing the transition, it's here. Like, we're here. We're already in a Nazi fascist dictatorial regime from Donald Trump, which is encouraging, by the way, the protests that are quote unquote peaceful to turn into a little bit more violent, a little bit more emotional, a little bit more angry. If that's what they're leading to, then where's the checks and balance? I'm pretty sure we still have a checks and balance system, right? We have a Congress that can vote to stop the president of the United States. They can pass bills. We have a Supreme Court that can challenge it and say what you're doing is unconstitutional. What they're angry about is that so far the Supreme Court has sided for the most part with the majority of the Trump agenda, which they're not happy about because the Supreme Court to them and the court system in general was supposed to be the blockade to just make Donald Trump completely null and void and irrelevant for the next 4 years, which is what they were hoping for. To the point, actually, if you remember Chuck Schumer, what, a year ago now? About December, January of 2024, after the election, after the presidential election, they said, well, our main front line to stop Donald Trump was to try and confirm as many federal judges as possible in the nation, so that way we could have the court utilized as a political weapon against the Trump administration to challenge everything he does in court and just essentially stop him. And they tried it until the Supreme Court ended up stopping it with a nationwide injunction and saying, you're not allowed to do that. Hey, federal judges, stay in your lane, bro, and only make decisions that affect your district and where you actually oversee. So that kind of shot them down because the Supreme Court is actually, well, interpreting the Constitution, not being used as a political arm of the DNC. And the Democrats aren't very happy about that. And because of it, they're saying, where's the government? Why aren't they doing things? It's a crazy world we live in. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. We got lots more to get to right around the corner. Stay here.
Hey folks, Angel Studios is having their biggest sale of the year, and it's one you don't want to miss. Right now, you can get an Angel Guild membership for as low as $6.99 a month for 12 months, plus two free tickets to see David, the brand new animated musical about the shepherd boy who became a king, in theaters this Christmas. A deal so good, it pays for itself. Now listen, I talk a lot about protecting our families, what we watch, what we bring into our homes, and this is one of the easiest ways to do it. This is Angel's lowest price of the year, and honestly, it's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. Entertainment that fills your home with light, and that's something worth supporting. Go to angel.com/starns and take advantage of their biggest sale of the year.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Program, moving the Todd Starnes Radio Show in the Liberty University studio out to Wichita, Kansas. KQAM, my flagship station. I'm Andy Hoosier. Great to sit in for Todd. He's out and about doing his thing today for a Wednesday, and we love having the chance to sit in and fill in for him. I want to tell you about our friends over at Field of Greens. As you know, most people probably don't look forward to their annual physical because they may be nervous about what the doctor might find. I get it. It's typical. It's totally irrational fear, right? Everybody's scared of the dentist and their annual checkup. That's okay. That's why what you do before the appointment actually matters. So before your next checkup, make one health change that your doctor will notice or your money back. Make it Field of Greens. Doctors today look beyond your calendar age. They look at the biological age that you have, which is how healthy your cells and vital organs are. Field of Greens was designed with that in mind. Each fruit and vegetable is doctor selected to support your cells, your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your healthy weight, and so much more. In fact, a university study found that participants who only added Field of Greens saw measurable improvements in key health markers. Just one change ends up changing everything. That's why Field of Greens promises your doctor the changes that you'll notice with your improved health or your money back. Go into your next physical confidence. One scoop, once a day, boom, that's it, done. Make it Field of Greens, your one smart change this year for 2026. Check out the university study and get 20% off at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com and use promo code STARNS. Again, fieldofgreens.com, use promo code STARNS. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker hotline here. And as we talk about the protests against ICE, the Gestapo coming to get bad guys, Todd sat down recently with an individual to discuss this issue and more about what the heck we're seeing in society today, which is really kind of weird. As he sat down on his Newsmax TV program with Betsy Branter Smith with the National Police Association as their spokesperson, and this is what they had to say.
Joining me now is Betsy Brantner Smith, a spokesperson for the National Police Association. Betsy, good to have you with us. So help me understand this. It's okay if Somalians invade Minneapolis, but not law-abiding American law enforcement.
Oh, Todd, this is just so much political theater, and it's so disheartening. You know, Keith Ellison, first and foremost, as the AG, he's got his own problems that I think we're going to see come to fruition eventually. But he and Jacob Fry and Tim Walz keep sharing this rhetoric that does nothing but not only endangers ICE agents, it endangers their own police officers. One of the things that many people have been doing on X is talking to protesters. And so many of them just say, yeah, I hate all cops. I hate Minneapolis PD. They're just making it more dangerous for everyone.
I know the president is not letting up. He brought up the issue during a speech in Michigan earlier today, and he also posted this on Truth Social, Betsy. Minnesota Democrats love the unrest that anarchists and professional agitators are causing because it gets the spotlight off the $19 billion that was stolen by really bad and deranged people. Fear not, great people of Minnesota. The day of reckoning and retribution is coming. What do you say to that?
I know Minnesota. I'm actually a Midwestern girl, and I have trained throughout the state of Minnesota, trained their law enforcement officers. And most of them are so sickened by what is happening. But, you know, they are victims of the whole post-George Floyd mentality. Literally, the police use of force law was changed after the death of George Floyd. And so now you have these leaders who are so frustrated that they can't just arrest this ICE agent for doing his job and for saving his own life and the life of his partner. They want to be able to arrest him, go through another show trial, and be done with it. Instead, they have to watch the Trump administration do what they're going to do in regards to this investigation, and also tripling down on arresting people that are involved in not just illegal immigration, but this horrific fraud that we've all been reading about.
Huge. Huge. Betsy, real quick here. I'm curious. We had Congresswoman Mary Miller from Illinois. She was on my national radio show today. She says that the president needs to invoke the Insurrection Act and send in the military. What say you? Should we do that?
Absolutely. The National Police Association believes that it is time for President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act. When you have this level of this, remember, this is not protest. These agents are being assaulted day after day after day. And so you need more trained bodies. And there just aren't enough cops to help, especially if the locals aren't going to get involved. So let's bring in the trained National Guard or whoever in our military can help with this situation and keep our agents and the community safe.
I don't know if you had a chance to see the video early on from the Tennessee Highway Patrol. It's a brilliant thing. You know, they're out there saying, oh, the police are attacking. The police are trying to run us over. Of course, the video shows a completely different story. At the end of the day, when you talk to law enforcement, the left would have you believe they wake up every day saying, oh, I can't wait to go kill an activist. But Betsy, it seems to me that most, if not all, the law enforcement I know are saying, I just want to get back home to my family safely tonight.
You're absolutely right. No cop wakes up in the morning and says, I can't wait to shoot someone today. It is a life-altering situation. And so the left wants you to believe, and again, this goes back to George Floyd. This goes back to Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. Every time that the left can use this, especially these sanctuary politicians, every time this comes up, they want to blame us for the violence. Cops want to protect their community. They don't want to hurt people, but they ultimately want to go home to their families.
That's it. All right, Betsy, great stuff as always. Good to see you, my friend. Betsy Brantner Smith, thank you.
There it is, Betsy Brantner Smith, the National Police Association, and Todd sat down with her during his Newsmax TV program. Fascinating conversation, and she's so right. This is the same agitators that were we've been calling it the George Floyd 2.0 protests up in Minnesota, Minneapolis, and that area, angry about ICE. It's the same ones that are just angry and just hate cops in general. Most of the protests that you see in the nation are just angry at just cops, and any excuse they can go after cops is kind of what we're seeing right now. Now, on the same front, I want you to think about this from a psychological warfare mindset. Right now, the focus is cops bad. We're going to be this watch ICE movement across the nation. We're going to follow them. We're going to agitate them. We're going to make their life difficult, which they're federal officers, which means they can arrest you for impeding their operation. Probably not a smart idea, but that's what they like to do anyway. So I guess whatever, they're the wicked, wild freedom fighters. Except for people that are actually being, you know, slaughtered in other nations. But nonetheless, it's the priorities that they have for their own life that at the same time, is it a distraction from the other news out of Minnesota? And I don't think Minnesota necessarily wants more news and attention because they have a lot of issues going on right now with Governor Tim Walz and the mayor of Minneapolis and going after ICE and now all this fraud that's going on, which led to, by the way, Tim Walz stepping down and not running for re-election for governor of the state, which means that he pretty much he's the fall guy. Let's admit it, right? He's the fall guy for this whole fraudster Somali population issue that, according to Ilhan Omar, and we played the clip earlier, that she's just saying, well, because we couldn't find all the fraud in the Somali population, that now we're going after the other brown people in Minnesota, which is the Hispanic population, that apparently that's what, you know, that the focus is we're just trying to find somebody because we are in the desperate state of trying to get some type of bad guy. And I find that narrative kind of funny. But Donald Trump's had enough, man. During a speech yesterday at the auto unions in Detroit, said we're not playing these games anymore. And we need to bring it back and refocus on what the priorities are for policy in the nation.
And also we're freezing any and all welfare payments going to illegal immigrants that will start effective immediately. So when illegals come into California, Gavin Newsom, they come into California and they send us bills for people coming in. We're not paying it. So we're working on that very strongly. Just don't pay it.
We're just not going to pay the bill. California may send us the bill for some kind of social program. We're just not going to pay it. Now, of course, that again, like usual, will be challenged in court, and we'll have to go through the whole process. Does he have the right to actually do that? That will be the challenge. I know right now we're still battling on whether the U.S. Department of Agriculture can freeze the SNAP benefits for states that have not provided the SNAP recipient data over to the federal government and the USDA. They threatened that back in November at that last cabinet meeting of the year. That hasn't happened quite yet, but we're still working on it. We're working on cleaning up the fraud. And that would be a great way to do it. If illegal migrants are receiving social benefits in some fashion, as California tries to be the sanctuary state, Minnesota is trying to be the sanctuary state, they're trying to protect a lot of this fraud and distract us by demonizing ICE and going after protests there, as opposed to saying, hey, there's a major problem we should probably focus on, then I don't think that's a narrative that's really going to work well for them. Because, again, this is not going away. And if we're just ending the funding, guess what? Money talks. And it's this is a huge opportunity. Dylan, I'm glad you asked this question, right? Here's a huge opportunity for the left side of the aisle. They hate the concept, or may not even be aware of the concept anymore, of the idea of federalism. Show of hands. Anybody remember the term federalism, what that actually means? Meaning states have the sovereign ability to make decisions outside of the few duties that when we signed the Constitution, we gave the federal government certain duties and powers under Article 1 of the Constitution, what the role of Congress is, what the role of the executive branch is, what the role of the Supreme Court is, that we gave them specific duties. Outside of that, the 10th Amendment, states' rights, default all the other powers back to the states. Now, they've gotten things kind of squirrely to recognize that immigration is not a state policy they oversee, but it's the federal government's issue. But if they're worried about welfare programs ending in their state, especially for those that they want to protect that aren't supposed to be receiving it because they're illegal aliens, and don't tell me it's not happening because we know that it is, if you're really concerned about that, then maybe you should start, wild thought here, using the concept of federalism, not allow the federal government to dictate your policy at a state level by becoming more fiscally and financially independent. Wild concept, right? And this is something that Todd's talked about, I've talked about quite a bit throughout different programs, is that we need to get back to that anyways, and it not only helps conservatives when a Democrat's in power and Joe Biden's trying to bully. I'll never forget the conversation, if you remember John Kasich, the former governor of Ohio, not a big fan, I grew up in Ohio, not a big fan of the guy. But when he was running for president the first Trump turn around, and John Kasich despised Donald Trump at that time, he was on the debate stage and made a comment about, I don't remember, it was something about gay marriage or abortion or some kind of social issue, and he made the comment and openly said the quiet part out loud on the debate stage that said, yeah, I would love to change policy on this issue as a state, but I can't, because if I did, then the federal government has threatened to cut off the Medicaid funding to the state of Ohio, and 30% of the Ohio population at that time was on the Medicaid program, and we're kind of reliant on that. And that was during the Obamacare time, and Medicaid was getting the 90% reimbursement from the federal government, and that was a hefty chunk of their social programs. And he openly said it, I can't change state policy, because if I did, the federal government would cut off my funding. And that tells us two things, right? It tells us, number one, the federal government has always been a mob-like mentality, the mobsters, regardless of what side's in power, that the federal government holds up financial burdens over the states in order for them to dictate policy, which is wrong. And number two, it really shows that, well, the federal government shouldn't be funding social programs, and that states have kind of had to bow down to the federal government on multiple different manners. And it's been going on for a long time, not just under the Donald Trump administration, when Democrats have said that now Donald Trump's bullying states by threatening to cut off SNAP benefits if we don't receive the SNAP data from the states, or the welfare programs if we don't like some of these programs. It's been happening and going on for a long time, not just Donald Trump, but of course the media is not going to report it that way. And if you want to get out of that, if you want to get out from under that burden, then you stop accepting money from the federal government and create your own statewide programs that are funded by your state taxpayers. Wild concept, I know, but that's the way you got to do it. And that benefits both sides of the aisle to let your state run the way that you actually want it to run. It's kind of like if you're quasi out of the house, you're graduating high school, you're about ready to go to college, and you're like, oh, I want some financial assistance from mom and dad when I'm in college. At the same time, I have a whole bunch of plans. Me personally, I wanted to get a tattoo. Dylan, do you have any tattoos, Dylan?
I do have a tattoo. Yeah,
you do have a tattoo. Okay, when did you get it? Did you get it in college?
I got it right when I turned 18. Very rebellious of me.
See, you are a rebel, man. You are. See, I wanted one as well. My parents hated tattoos, and they told me when I was in college, if you get a tattoo, then obviously you can afford a tattoo, and therefore you don't need any more financial assistance from mom and dad when you're in college. And that was the threat that they made. They held that over my head, and I was not able to get a tattoo. I know people are laughing right now, saying, oh my gosh, really? You're talking about tattoos? It's a great example, because I wanted to get a tattoo. I had to wait until after I was off the financial support of mom and dad in college. When I went off on my own, then I got my tattoo, and now I'm happy as a clam. And now I want a whole bunch more tattoos, but that's another story for another time. But it's the same situation. If you don't want the rules of the house, then you leave the house and you end up going and doing your own thing. Democrats haven't quite figured that out yet, because they like the mothership of the grand large government taking care of you, funding all of your programs, and like California, where you can get in massive amounts of debt and you can just have the federal government bail you out by subsidies coming in from other states. Your thoughts on this and more, 901-260-5926. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss, and it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. I like the analogy we use of the tattoo. I think that worked out really well. You know what? That fit the narrative quite well on the idea of becoming financially wicked wildly independent as a state. And I think that you should, for sure, because Donald Trump, by the way, not only stopped at the we're going to stop welfare programs coming into states during his speech, but he went as far as anybody who may be considered a sanctuary state or city may also be ending some of their funding.
Additionally, starting February 1st, we're not making any payments to sanctuary cities or states having sanctuary cities, because they do everything possible to protect criminals at the expense of American citizens, and it breeds fraud and crime and all of the other problems that come. So we're not making any payment to anybody that supports sanctuary.
Look, again, I mean, it's going to be challenging court. We'll see if that actually follows through, but that's pretty awesome if we're able to make something like that happen and say, if you're not abiding, and again, we have to understand constitutional law. I'm glad that we have an opportunity to do Constitutional Oversight 101 on the Todd Starnes radio program today for a Wednesday. Immigration is a federal policy. It is not a state policy. It is not a city policy. It's not a county policy. States and cities and counties cannot declare themselves as sanctuary for undocumented illegal aliens. That's not how law works. And if you think that you can just take the responsibility into your own hands, then you're sadly mistaken, and the federal government's going to correct you on that pretty quickly. Kind of like if you choose not to pay your taxes. It may be stupid we have to pay so many taxes, but if you don't, see how well that works out for you. Because it usually doesn't work out too well for most individuals. Now, that's not to say that if the federal government does not hold up their end of the bargain as someone whose duty it is to oversee immigration policy, then you have to figure it out on your own. And you'll remember during the Biden administration when they were like, we need to pass a bill. We can't enforce anything yet. Then Texas took the matters into their own hands and put the buoys out in the river, and they were trying to stop it with themselves and deal with immigration flooding in during that time. And then Trump came in, and within, what, 3 months, we saw zero crossings. It changed pretty quickly on that front. So, yeah, we have some work to do. Their priorities are kind of messed up from the other side of the aisle, but they're recognizing, and hopefully they will realize pretty soon, that the funding will dry up for their states unless they make some drastic changes and begin to work with us instead of try and fight against us. We can do it the easy way, or the hard way, and we're going to follow and abide by the Constitution, which leads to, by the way, I just saw a headline during the break that the number of Democrats in the House of Representatives has now reached 60 Democrats that are advocating for the impeachment of Kristi Noem as the Department of Homeland Security because of all the ICE issues and drama that we're seeing. 60 Democrats. Please tell me again how midterm elections aren't going to be pretty wild this year with Democrats desperate to get that majority and push for impeachment of every Trump cabinet member and Donald Trump himself. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
Hi, this is Todd Stearns. This past year has been one of the hardest in MyPillow's history, and it's because of loyal listeners like you, they're still standing strong. To show their appreciation, they're offering special Christmas savings exclusively for our listeners. Right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98, My Slippers with a free bottle of leather protectant spray for $39.98, and a variety of blankets, comforters, and duvets starting as low as $25. Plus, there's a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow. Get this, only $14.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock these wholesale prices. That includes the standard MyPillow, normally $49.98, now just $14.98, with queen sizes marked down to $18.99 and king sizes for only a dollar more. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
What is up, my friends? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for the great Todd Starnes today for a midweek celebration. Hey, it's so great to have you. Happy 2026. Happy New Year. I know we're a week into it, but golly, we're still trying to get back into the swing of things, right? I mean, after the holidays of Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, you've been kind of in holiday mode for a while, and then like, bam, right out of the gate, now you have to work the full five workdays or six workdays or whatever you do, and it's kind of tough. So we're here, and Todd Starnes out and about doing his thing. It's so great to be able to fill in for his seat today, moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas on KQAM, my flagship station, a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio program. And I want to hear from you today, 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. There is plenty to talk about for sure. Liz Peek will be on the program, a columnist at the bottom of the hour. I know a weekly visit with her jumping on the Todd Starnes program to discuss multiple different issues, and there's plenty to talk about. I'm still waiting. Dylan, again, keep me apprised. We're waiting for the live video or the potential conversation with Denmark and with Greenland that we'll get to in just a moment here. Also, apparently Donald Trump's about ready to do a signing ceremony for some bill. We don't know what bill it is. So if any of that happens during the program, we will go live to those and cover some of it. But that being said, there has been a lot of activity in Congress the past few days. And I say that, well, quasi-progressive, right? And progressive being actual, like productive, not progressive ideologically. There has been a lot of movement because we are, what, 2 weeks away now, 3 weeks away from the end of the month of January. That means if Congress does not approve the rest of the appropriations process, we could see another government shutdown. And if the government shuts down, it won't be like it was last time in October, but it's still a little ridiculous. Congress, you have one job, bro. One job, especially House of Representatives, the power of the purse. You have one job. Pass a budget, and you have an entire year to do it. And for some reason, we continue to put up a wall and fight this over. And we have these continuing resolutions, and we have these omnibus packages and all the other stuff. The other projects that Congress is working on, though, include some of the transparency. And there was a hearing yesterday, shockingly, not very shockingly, there was a person that was supposed to show up for a hearing and did not show up, where the House Oversight Committee was, well, not really expecting him in the first place.
I think everyone knows by now Bill Clinton did not show up. And I think it's important to note that this subpoena was voted on in a bipartisan manner by this committee. This wasn't something that I just issued as chairman of the committee. This was voted on by the entire committee in a unanimous vote of the House Oversight Committee to subpoena former President Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton's supposed to show up tomorrow. We'll see what happens there. But with respect to the former president, he did not show up today. One reason I think most Americans want President Clinton to answer some questions is because he visited the White House. Jeffrey Epstein visited the White House 17 times while Bill Clinton was president. I've been in Congress 9 years. I think I've been to the White House 9 times in 9 years. Epstein was in the White House double the amount of time that I was under.
All right, so there it is. All right, the Epstein investigation still ongoing. I know this is kind of a sore spot for many people as well, because the Epstein case, we were supposed to get all of the documents from the Department of Justice. All of it was supposed to be a dump, like, what, 2-3 weeks ago now? And it hasn't happened. We've gotten a lot, but we still have a lot more that needs to be dumped out there. They're still censoring and blocking some of the content that's coming out of these documents. And I know it's very frustrating for a lot of individuals. And to be honest, out of all of the great wins that we've had under this Trump administration, and let's be honest, that's a lot. This presidential administration, this cabinet, has been the most successful and most productive administration in modern American history. Whether you like the agenda or not, it's been the most productive and the most successful in getting and accomplishing their agenda in any presidency of the modern American history, with the amount of stuff that we've been able to do. Peace deals, tariffs, taxes, spending, Department of Government efficiency with DOGE, the transparency that we're working on. I mean, just across the board, Donald Trump has been an absolute freaking rock star, and it's really awesome to see. But one of the shadows lingering, the cloud lingering over this administration, has been the Epstein issue. And while it's now available to be public and they're working on releasing a lot more of these documents, Democrats have tried to play the game where they've released a whole bunch of pictures that show Jeffrey Epstein with Donald Trump, or Donald Trump with the Epstein people, or in his vicinity, or taking picture with girls and everything. The problem is, none of it's been bad, and they've been pictures that we've already seen, or they've been in public areas where there's no shenanigans actually going on. But those have been the selective photos that Democrats in the Oversight Committee have been releasing to the general populace. The problems that we have are the ones that really, truly, honestly do have some questions to be answered, because there's legitimate problems, like, I don't know, Bill Clinton having a painting of him in a blue dress at the Epstein Island, that you should probably ask about that. And they didn't show up. And the reason they probably didn't show up, and Hillary more than likely is not showing up today, is because of the fact that, well, they don't take it serious, that it's going to be a hearing, they're going to banter, we're going to grandstand, make a few different audio clips and sound bits about how angry we are about not showing up and getting down to the root of the issue, and then we're going to blow off it, and it's just going to go nowhere. And I think that that's where Congress has been for a while, and I think it's time for most Americans, I would agree, and if you disagree, I'd love to hear from you on the program, that I think most Americans now are tired of just the talking, and they want action. I'm pretty sure that we're tired, and we want answers to these issues and actual results, as opposed to just the bantering about how frustrated we are about the process in general. So we'll keep you apprised of that. We'll see if Hillary actually shows up. Not likely. I'm putting my money not on that one. Haven't seen any news on it yet. But Bill Clinton not showing up yesterday. All right, Dylan, are we seeing anything about Greenland yet? The Associated Press has a video of just like the outside of the White House. I don't see any movement on this whole Greenland conversation yet. Do you?
No, I don't. I'm looking at the same shot. It's a good shot.
It's a beautiful shot. I mean, it's a beautiful White House, the most beautiful White House we've ever seen on the face of the earth. Don't worry, it's wonderful. I'm really excited to hear this conversation. I've joked about this. I know Donald Trump teased it when he first came into office of, hey, we want to make Canada the 51st state. They weren't very thrilled about that. They got a little angry, which is why we saw a little tariff tiff for a while between those two. That's pretty much calmed down now. But he's not let go of this issue of Greenland. And I find that really fascinating. Now, for those that are, Andy, you're imperialist, you're taking over another nation, that's not how things work in the 21st century, that's a completely different conversation. You got to remember that we've had a long history with Greenland. And I know back in the early 1900s, we essentially gave Greenland over to Denmark to oversee, and just said, hey, you guys kind of handle this, we're done with the area, although we probably had most purview of it at that time. Then in the 50s, at the same time, then Denmark allowed us to have military protection over Greenland. So we've had a long history with Greenland over the decades, which has been honestly really cool. Donald Trump made a statement a couple of days ago about how, you know, we're just going to go in and take it over because, well, they have two dog sleds that are actually protecting it. And that was the statement he made. How do they have two dog sleds? They don't have any defense. And if anybody tried to take them over, if Russia came in or China came in, they'd not be able to protect them, which was honestly kind of funny and really snarky towards Denmark. They probably didn't appreciate that. But here's the kicker. Since these announcements have been happening, and apparently, supposedly, Vice President J.D. Vance is going to be sitting down with Denmark and with Greenland, the Prime Minister of Greenland, today at the Oval Office at some point today, hopefully relatively soon. While that's happening, we're getting word from the English news about now how Denmark has sent military forces to Greenland for protection. And I mean, look, apparently Greenland can't defend itself, which is kind of funny. But why would you have to send armed forces to Greenland from Denmark? Donald Trump is not going, and we're going to be very clear here. Maybe I'm wrong. We haven't been yet. I'm pretty sure Todd hasn't been wrong on this issue. I don't think that the United States is going to militarily invade Greenland. Dylan, I don't think that's going to happen. That would be hilarious, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. There's how many people? Let's do a quick Google search on the live on the air here. Population of Greenland. What is that? Population of Greenland. Because it's not very much. Oh, 56,000 people. That's it. 56,000. That is, I don't even know how to put a comparison to that. That's not a lot of people at all in the entire large span of Greenland. Now, I've said before, I enjoy colder climates. I've been very angry. Our Christmas in Wichita, Kansas was 70 degrees on Christmas Day. It has been 65 all the first week of January in Kansas. I'm not thrilled about that. I want to move to a place where in the summertime it's like 40 degrees, in the wintertime it's like negative 20 degrees, and I'm completely content. So if we end up doing anything with Greenland, I will be the first to admit, I will be the first one to move to Greenland. And I will be the 56,000 and first person to actually be there, because I guess there's just a really small population that we need to address, and that we have a lot of resources there. And it's now priority numero uno for the Trump administration, to the point now, apparently, they've put a dollar figure on the potential purchasing of Greenland outright of $700 billion. And we're getting conflicting reports. Right now, we hear from Denmark itself saying there's no way, absolutely not, shut down conversation, we're not handing over Greenland at all. We're hearing from the Prime Minister of Greenland, again, saying the same thing. Absolutely no way. We're happy with Denmark. There's no way whatsoever that we're becoming part of the United States. The independent journalists, on the other hand, from the United States, apparently have gone to Greenland and have come out with reports that say that overwhelmingly, almost 99% of the population that they talk to are in support of becoming part of the United States. So the people are okay with it. The leadership's not. And that makes me wonder what kind of game's going to be played to try and haggle to potentially eventually sell off Greenland to the United States, or if it's even worth doing that. Donald Trump apparently sees that it is. He sees that as a military opportunity for us being closer to Russia and to China. He sees the resources potentially there, and we get a larger landscape, and we get a nice colder climate where we get to actually take care of, you know, being. Dylan, are you with me on that? 40-degree summers, negative 20 winters? Are you okay with that?
You know, I'm actually down for that because I like the cold, but Greenland is very, very cold, I think.
It is very, very cold. You're the first one that I've asked that question to that actually agreed with me on that, because I get really crazy looks. I'm sorry. I can't deal with 110-degree weather during the summer. I just can't do it.
In Memphis, we get terribly hot summers, and our house is kept at 60 degrees, so that's all I'll say.
I just can't do it. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So here's the question for you, 901-260-5926. Is it worth purchasing Greenland? And do you think, an over or under, will it actually happen? Because it was a pipe dream. It was kind of a taunting, a trolling that Donald Trump started with this conversation a year ago. Now we're literally having Denmark and the Prime Minister of Greenland at the White House today with Vice President J.D. Vance, potentially President Donald Trump after his bill signing ceremony he's going to have later on today as well, potentially having those conversations with a dollar figure now of $700 billion to outright purchase Greenland. Will it actually happen? Is it just more of taunting to try and negotiate better trade deals? What's the real story behind the scenes for the Trump administration to actually make this happen? But when Donald Trump locks in on something, he gets that tunnel vision, man. He really, really, really wants it to happen. And when it does, he usually finds a way to make it happen. As Mr. Business Deal himself, Mr. Real Estate Mongol himself, he finds a way to make a deal, and apparently Greenland is top of priority for him right now, according to sources within the Trump administration. Will it happen or not? That's up for you to tell. I want to hear your thoughts. 901-260-5926. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Back after this. Hey, welcome back to it. The Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in today, moving those Liberty University studios out here to Wichita, Kansas, my flagship station. Great to be on today for Todd as he is out and about doing his thing. We are possibly getting closer to a conversation with the Greenland chat. And should we be purchasing or taking over Greenland is the question today. 901-260-5926. I want to think about it from a different angle, from the sense that we have an America First agenda. We're looking for the benefits of America and whether we should be taking over land. I saw actually a post on social media during the break of someone just commenting on the topic in general that said that this isn't the, you know, 1,000 years ago when we just militarily go and take over a nation and now we take over this land. We're not doing imperialism. Here's the thing. We're not an imperialist nation. We're not. Even with the whole Venezuela issue and Trump trolling, which the trolling is, let's be honest, next level when he posts on his Truth Social a picture of him on like a Wikipedia page saying the new president of Venezuela. That's next that's next level trolling, but we're not actually taking over Venezuela. We're kind of dictating policy right now, but we're doing it the right way that if we are going to take out a leader, then we're going to make sure the right person gets in office that's not going to be the same kind of person just to refill the gap again, and that we're going to have a good relationship with them and that everybody can be happy. And that's the proper way to do it. This isn't the George Bush era. We're going to take over Iraq, then do the purple finger voting, if you remember that. Everybody had the purple finger saying that they voted, trying to implement a constitution when that style of governance went so far over their heads and they got the glossy-eyed, they had no clue how to actually work it, which is why it crumbled really bad. And then you had the different religious sects that just didn't like each other, and you had to try and get all of them to get along, and it was a major failure. That's not what we're talking about here. With Venezuela, that was strategic because we had Nicolas Maduro, who had a $50 billion bounty on his head because he was human trafficking. He had put assassination hits on elected officials here in the United States. He was human trafficking, drug trafficking. He was just a bad guy, and he was a wanted man. And we did a military operation with law enforcement to extract him, and we didn't take over the soil. It's not part of the United States. It quasi kind of is right now based on policy dictating that we're doing, but it's not going to be that way for long. With Greenland, I don't know why Denmark has now sent, they've sent not only the military, but it's their Danish armed forces where they've showed up, according to a Danish broadcaster that said it on earlier today on Wednesday, saying that Denmark is deploying military equipment and advanced troops to the island to prepare for the possible arrival of large forces from the Danish army and other branches of the armed forces to prepare for a potential invasion, saying, quote, a more prominent and larger military presence will be had as a clear response to the challenges facing the Arctic. They didn't quite come out and say that it was a threat of Donald Trump and the United States militarily taking over Greenland, but they're just saying based on the challenges facing the Arctic. So unless there's a massive increase in polar bears invading Greenland, then I think the only other threat they're worried about right now would be the threat of the United States. And that's kind of laughable because we're literally about ready to have a diplomatic conversation about what goes on here. But on the America First agenda and looking at the priorities of what we want here, Venezuela was strategic because who controlled Venezuela? If it wasn't us, it was Russia. If it wasn't Russia, it was China. The resources, the gold or the diamonds or whatever they have there, the oil that they're producing right now, which is roughly 1 million barrels a day. Once we upgrade the infrastructure, it's going to be roughly 2 to 2.5 million barrels a day of oil that they can produce that's being bought by us, the United States, to help stabilize their economy, stabilize their value of their dollar. They can get their economy back on track. People can actually start celebrating again, open up businesses, do what they need to do. That's a great success for them and a benefit for us for more oil when we already have, by the way, record low oil prices with, 35 states now under $3 a gallon. And that's a big win for us and record that we haven't seen since the last Trump administration. Greenland is the same way. And I think that us keeping a closer eye on enemies over there would be a relative benefit. So whether it becomes the 51st state or whether we just take more responsibility over the nation, I think is something worth having a conversation about. And they see the value in that. We'll see if we can win over the Danish with this conversation that they've been pretty cold on even having in the first place. We got lots more to get to, plus Liz Peek around the corner. Andy Hoosier sitting in for the Todd Starnes radio program. Lots more coming up. Stay here. Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes today for a midweek celebration, and plenty going on right now. Man, I cannot wait for those conversations. I cannot wait to see. I want to see Greenland as that number 51 star on the American flag. Again, trolling or serious conversation? It sounds like it's becoming more serious now with them about ready to meet later on today, really any time that we could see that. Also, we are following the Trump administration, could be signing a new bill, doing a bill signing ceremony here relatively soon. We'll keep you apprised. And Todd Starnes, if you want more information on Todd, obviously, ToddStarnes.com. You can find his Facebook page. He had just posted a little while ago the ICE agent that was hit by the vehicle up in Minneapolis. I know the other side, like, he actually didn't get hit. But the guy that did get hit has been reported that he is in the hospital with internal bleeding, which is very sad. So thoughts and prayers to him, and hopefully he can have some proper recovery. This is a guy, by the way, that was dragged like 6 months ago, was dragged by a vehicle too from another protester that was fighting against ICE. So all the well wishes and quick recovery for him, while the Minneapolis mayor said that it was nothing more than a slight bruise that was like trying to shut the refrigerator door with your hip. By downplaying this, the guy's got internal bleeding because the lady ended up hitting him while they try to say that ICE is the Gestapo trying to get us. Crazy times. But I want to shift gears and go over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline as an annual or a weekly segment here on the Todd Starnes radio program to have our next guest on here as an American commentator, columnist, and so much more. Liz Peek is with us today. Liz, how are you, my friend?
I'm terrific. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you jumping on here with the Todd Starnes radio show. I got to ask you, we are getting closer to a sit-down conversation for the potential purchasing of the sum of $700 billion for Greenland. We've seen the report, apparently, as of this morning, that Denmark has now sent the Danish armed forces for an increase in armed forces presence to Greenland with a concern of, I don't know, an increase in polar bear activity or because of an invasion of Donald Trump with the military here or something. But is this really happening? Are we about to see the potential purchasing of Greenland?
I don't know. When you say the Danish armed forces, this is really a horrible thing to say, but immediately popped into my mind someone in knight's armor, like a Far Cry cartoon, people with lances, et cetera. I've never heard of the Danish armed forces. I'm sure they're credible, but kind of a funny thing.
They're experts anyway in jousting. Yes, they're experts in jousting.
I imagine so. Look, I think this is like the fifth or sixth time in American history that we have gone after Greenland with purpose. People have made offers for Greenland going back to, you know, Eisenhower days. And before that, in the 1800s, we tried to buy Greenland. We tried to buy it when we bought simultaneously Alaska from Russia. And by the way, think about that. Imagine if Alaska were still Russian owned. And whatever reason, it never has happened. Even though we offered always far less than now the island is worth. What is it worth? Really, nobody knows. And Greenland, Denmark says that they're not interested in concluding a deal. I think Donald Trump would be a loon to actually invade Greenland. I don't think that's really on the table. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I think what he's doing is trying to pressure the government of Denmark into making a deal. And remember, early on, when this came up the first time, Denmark was not like resolutely opposed to it, and the inhabitants of Greenland seemed somewhat open to it. And then I think the Trump administration got very aggressive on this, and so sure enough, it resulted in the Danish government saying no way, because their own people were sort of like, well, no, we shouldn't be doing this. This is, you know, bad to cave to Donald Trump. But bottom line, Trump's pretty good at doing deals. I think this would be an awesome geopolitical win for the United States. strategically, as everyone has said. It's a very important asset, particularly as the ice barriers to shipping into the Arctic have more or less dissolved. It's much easier now to access the Arctic, and Greenland would be a very, very good opportunity for us. I think at the least, we want to expand our military presence there and do some pretty significant deals on rare earths, which Greenland has in tremendous quantities.
Yeah, it's a really great point. Like you said, if anybody's able to do it, even though we've tried it for years and decades, if anybody's able to do it, it would be a real estate mogul, deal negotiator, someone like Donald Trump, who could actually step in and try and have these conversations. Why do you think that we're seeing Denmark want to hold on to it so badly, but like you said, not do anything with it to try and set the value of the land, to try and see what resources and minerals they actually have? They want it, but they don't want to do anything with it. That's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, well, look, Trump derangement syndrome is not limited to this continent. And the Europeans really hate Donald Trump. I mean, the sort of left-wing bureaucrats in charge of the EU and in charge of many of these countries are not big fans of Donald Trump. But I also think, look, from their point of view, they can extract a bigger and bigger price if they behave that way. But to your point, what are they doing with that? I mean, one thought I have, and honestly, I'm sort of spitballing here, is, as you know, it isn't just the control of rare earths that is important. The Chinese came in and undercut the rare earth pricing when we actually were the dominant producer many years ago and made it unprofitable for us. But what they really control, for a lot of other reasons, is processing. And what a great opportunity to set up some processing facilities in Greenland, where you have an awful lot of land that is unoccupied. It's a tremendous environmental issue, processing these rare earths, because you have to process huge amounts of ore to get at very small amounts of the material that you're going after. But maybe Greenland is a place where that could happen. Now, you know, that's going to inflame the idea of people who are pretty set on Greenland being this pristine landscape, and it is that. But nonetheless, I think there are some opportunities there. And again, you know, Denmark, why haven't they taken advantage of it? Well, let's see. When was the last time you heard about a really major business or technological breakthrough out of Denmark? I don't mean to be unkind, but yeah. You know, Tivoli Gardens is what I think of when I think of Denmark, and not much more than that.
It's a great point. I love the Scandinavian countries. You know, I love it. And I've said, if Donald Trump purchases Greenland, I will be resident number one to move up there into the cold climate. I like my negative 20 degree temperatures, so I'm totally happy with it. But, you know, the Scandinavian areas, they just kind of go with the flow. They don't do a whole lot. We don't hear a lot of news coming out of those areas for sure. Let's shift gears. Liz, I wanted to pick your brain on the Iranian revolution right now that's going on, and the talking foreign policy. How much the U.S. should or should not be involved in this. Donald Trump, speaking yesterday in Detroit, said this.
To all Iranian patriots, keep protesting, take over your institutions if possible, and save the name of the killers and the abusers that are abusing you. You're being very badly abused.
Yeah, so we don't know the numbers right now because they have cut off the internet. The nation's gone dark for the most part. We've heard numbers between 3,000 to like 20,000 people that have potentially been slaughtered by the government. I know that there's a really big push right now in the MAGA movement, the America First movement, to not be the regime changer administration or the toppling of other nations getting involved. But at the same time, we have an opportunity to get rid of a really, really bad dictator and a puppet of Russia. How much should we be involved in this?
Well, I think we should do everything we can to help the movement that wants to get rid of the Ayatollahs and the theocratic regime pursue that end. I don't think we should have boots on the ground. I don't know that we should wage war against Iran. But for example, you mentioned they've shut down the internet, they've shut down communications. We can help with that. Elon Musk can help with that. I'm surprised that hasn't already happened, because Musk very early in the Ukraine war went in and established Starlink satellite communications. I assume that that's going on in some capacity right now. You know, here's the big problem, and this is really a note to people who are enthusiastic about the Second Amendment. The reason this is really difficult, and that even now the toppling of the regime is unlikely, according to an awful lot of people I speak to, is that the people have no guns. It is a completely unfair, lopsided fight between a regime, the Iranian Revolutionary National Guard, all these militant organizations inside Iran. They are armed, and they can shoot people. The people cannot shoot back. So yeah. There is, when Donald Trump says topple the institutions, there's probably sheer numbers can probably make some of that happen, but it's a really difficult thing. So can we funnel, or can we, through operations in Israel or someplace else, funnel arms into Iran to make this a more fair fight? I don't know. I mean, that would obviously be, you would think that intelligence assets would already be hard at work on that. And I want to say something about this MAGA movement being negative on what Donald Trump wants to do here. The MAGA movement is Donald Trump. There was no MAGA movement until the president came along. All these people who aspire to speak for the MAGA movement or for the president, it's complete nonsense. What we have seen from Trump is he will do whatever it takes and go wherever it takes to further America's interests. People don't understand that Iran spends billions of dollars every year basically trying to kill Americans, Israelis, and to undermine the Gulf Arab nations, which are allies to the United States, through the Houthis, the Hezbollah group, which gets over $1 billion a year, and Hamas, which obviously perpetrated one of the worst attacks on Israelis in the history of the country. They foment revolution. They foment upheaval in the Middle East, all kinds of things which are really, really terrible for the United States. So this is in our best interest. That's why we bomb their nuclear facilities. We don't trust the mullahs. We shouldn't trust the mullahs. The fact that we are this close to the mullahs being toppled, you can credit Donald Trump. He has squeezed this Iranian country, rightly so, and if he wants to pursue it further, I say go at it.
Yeah, and he's done it the right way, right? He's done it not by doing a long-term conflict, not by getting involved with the military-industrial complex. It was, and I get the hesitation with some on the right side who are like, we don't want to get into another conflict. We don't want a long-term 20-year George Bush war. We don't want that stuff. Donald Trump's proven he doesn't want that either, and he's not going to do it, which is why we went in, bombed the nuclear site, and got out in a single night, and no one even knew it happened until the next day, which is really great. Last question for you, Liz. We're talking with Liz Peek, columnist and commentator, and we appreciate you. You mentioned the MAGA divide right now. Are you concerned now that we're going into midterm election season, the divide we're seeing in the Republican Party on the America First, the isolationism, the involvement in foreign policy, even the anti-Semitism comments, which are really kind of strange in today's times? Are you concerned about a divide of the Republican Party as we get closer to election season?
I think the media has made much more of this than it exists. The anti-Semitism, for example, I think is truly, truly a fringe element on both parties. I think it's actually more prevalent in the Democrats. Look, Democrat-run media organizations love to suggest that Republicans are at war with Republicans. It is limited to very few people. Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, these people, they right now are making a lot of noise. I don't think that they speak for me or for you or for most people who voted for Donald Trump. If you look at the ratings on Donald Trump and most of what he does, they're still pretty darn good.
Yeah, that is true. There are the rabble outsiders, and I hope that doesn't deter enough people. But I don't think you're right. I mean, they may have a lot of viewers, followers, making a lot of money off of this. But at the same time, people realize common sense.
Let me say one other thing. I think that divide, to the extent that it exists, is going to become more apparent as we get towards 2028. I think you're already seeing the lineup of people behind J.D. Vance, and there's people lining up behind Marco Rubio. I think those two are going to be very much in contention. They don't see eye to eye on everything, and let's have a conversation about it. But all this sniping and, kind of bizarre, Nick Fuentes, I mean, give me a break. The guy's a lunatic. So, I have not much, I really have not much respect for people who take those people seriously.
I was going to say, I don't know. I think Nick Fuentes has a chance to run for president in 28, right, Liz?
Yeah, good for him. Good for him.
I love it. Can't wait to see that. Good luck with that one, buddy. Liz Peek, columnist and commentator. Liz, we appreciate it very much. We love having you on the Todd Starnes program each week. And Todd, I look forward to chatting with you again here real soon, my friend.
I look forward to it, and thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Appreciate it very much. Again, Liz Peek, columnist and commentator. Go check her out on her social media. Great content. And you're right, the breakdown of the state of the election season, now that we're ramping up for that, is quite interesting to observe for sure. We'll get your thoughts on some of this and more when we come back around the corner. Andy Hoosier sitting in for the Todd Starnes radio program. All right, welcome back into the Todd Starnes radio program. Thanks again to Liz Peek coming on the program, columnist and commentator. I know she does a weekly sit-down with Todd on the program today. Also, make sure to check out the Newsmax TV program with Todd later on this afternoon. Great content. I'm sure he'll have a lot more on all of this as it progresses all throughout the day on all of these issues. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. I love seeing when there's a competition. And there's a headline from, what is this, ATR.org, the Americans for Tax Reform. There is a battle right now, in a good way, on who can have the least and lower amount of taxes on a state-to-state level. And if we like competition, and if there's going to be competition for growth, then that's a good thing. Now that we go into midterm elections, which, again, be aware of what candidates are trying to do this year going into election season for their grandstanding or whatever else they do, that the Missouri right now is, according to the governor of Missouri, as they start off their state legislative session, they are calling for a 0% income tax in the state of Missouri. And that's pretty awesome. Now, coming from Kansas, we have some relatively high taxes here, income tax and sales tax and property tax, although these property tax at a state level just went away at the beginning of this year, so that's good news. But that being said, that we are still having a lot of taxes across the board, other states battling the same thing. What bothers me, and I think most conservatives probably agree with this on this issue, is when you try to entice businesses to come in and invest in your community and build business and bring in workers and be part of the community, do you want a particular pitch from the local county state governments to say, hey, we'll give you these tax incentives and perks if you come here, or, and it's only specified to that business, or do you say we just are going to lower our tax rates across the board to incentivize anybody to come here? And I think that's what you kind of want to do. You get enough to function, and then you lower the taxes enough to incentivize people want to come, because there is a state-to-state tax battle in Missouri. If they get rid of income tax, that's going to be a big win for the state of Missouri. So I like the competition that we could see among states going into the legislative sessions this year across the nation, of states trying to lower property taxes, lowering sales taxes, lowering income tax, whatever their main focus may be, to try to entice individuals to want to flock there instead of flee from their states. Kind of like what we're seeing in California right now, where I don't know if you've seen Gavin Newsom, Mr. Good Suave Hair Man himself out in California, the governor of California. Yeah, he's out there now, and he's actually opposing what Democrats in the state legislature are trying to push, which is a wealth tax. And if the wealth tax actually goes into effect, there's been an announcement of 20 billionaires in the state of California that have threatened to leave. And that's on top of all the other businesses that have already left the state of California, all the people that have already left, the exodus that we're seeing in California already. 20 different billionaires have threatened to leave. Gavin Newsom, with the eyes on the presidential race of 2028, saying that, no, this is really bad. We can't tax the wealthy like that. We need to incentivize them to stay here. Campaign tactic or state of desperation? You choose. Back after this.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you here. Todd Starnes is out today. Yours truly, Andy Hoosier, sitting in behind the microphone to fill in for Todd. And what an honor it is to do each and every opportunity we get a chance. Todd, we love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to have some fun on the radio with your great listeners across the nation here. The Todd Starnes radio program, moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas, with my flagship station, KQAM, and a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio program. Dylan, I don't want to waste any time, man. We've missed a lot of this already, but apparently the Prime Minister of Greenland and the spokesperson, whoever it is from Denmark, is making a public statement now. Apparently there has not been an agreement to purchase Greenland for the United States. But let's go live to that right now, shall we?
U.S. has historically been a bit reluctant. Hopefully that will change now. There's a dialogue within the NATO framework. And we want to step up, and hopefully that could also accommodate some of the president's concern. But it's not that I'm now, you know, saying everything is solved. It's not solved. We didn't manage, but I honestly speaking, I didn't believe that that was doable. We didn't manage to change the American position. It's clear that the president has this wish. Of conquering over Greenland. We made it very, very clear that this is not in the interest of the kingdom. There's a government in Greenland with support from three-quarters of the Greenlandic population. The premier made it very, very clear yesterday that Greenland, for the time being and for foreseeable future, will remain within the kingdom of Denmark. And therefore, this is a common position that we want to work with our American friends and allies, but it must be a respectful cooperation, and it must respect the red lines. Should we take a very final question, and then, yeah, come on. There's a fight going on now about, okay, yes.
I would also like to, of course, ask a question in Danish.
We can do that afterwards,
For both of you, so you say you have had a constructive meeting. You said in Greenlandic, I could hear the translation, it was a good meeting. But how do you feel about going out of that room without the threat being off the table? So we still have the American administration that wants to have Greenland being part of the United States. And you say, Lars Løkke Rasmussen, that, well, we hope that we can find a way. But how do you actually feel? It can't be very sort of secure, is it?
Vivian?
I think that it's never been so important to initiate that we are allies, we are friends, we have been cooperated in many, many years, we have history together, so it's all our interest to find the right balances. So I don't think I can say it longer than that. Of course, we have work to do in the future. And for us, the most important is that you find the normalized relationship we used to have. And it's very important. And I think that we have initiated so many times where we stand and our geopolitical and location and everything that is very important. And we do it.
All right. Let's go ahead and pot that down. So, well, I guess we swing and a miss, I guess, right now, at least the Vice President, J.D. Vance, and Secretary of State Marco Rubio coming out of the meeting with Denmark and with Greenland. And apparently no deal has been struck. Dylan, could you imagine? I mean, Donald Trump wants this thing, man. They've even put a price tag out on $700 billion or whatever he's trying to offer for this thing. He really, really, really wants Greenland. Obviously, right now, they have no interest in selling it over to us. The legacy of Donald Trump, we haven't invaded Iran. We haven't invaded Venezuela. We haven't invaded Russia. We haven't invaded China. Could you imagine the legacy of Donald Trump invading Greenland? Just the military invasion of Greenland.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. If this is the first one, I don't know.
If that's the first one, like, we're not going to take over any other nation, but we really want Greenland, and we'll do it to the point of actually taking over that nation, which is why, according to the Danish broadcaster, they say that they have sent the Danish military forces to Greenland for, what they say, challenges in the Arctic right now, which I don't know what those challenges necessarily are. But you said before we came on, when it was top of the hour, before we came in, they were talking about the dog sleds, because Donald Trump said the only security they have are two dog sleds, and that's it for the nation.
Yeah, he was like, I know, you know, Trump mentioned the dog sleds, and you know, it's true. We do have dog sleds, and we have to get around that way in the snow, so it's hard.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I love it. Well done. The trolling of Donald Trump continues. I don't know, man. We'll see whether it happens or not. It sounds like they are adamantly no. Like, yeah, we'll strengthen relationships with the U.S., but we're not going to be controlled or owned by the United States in some fashion. We'll see. When Donald Trump has laser focused on something, man, he's all about it. And we'll see it where that progresses. But another bummer for the Trump administration right now. And again, if I have any optimism of anybody that can do it, it would be Donald Trump. It would be J.D. Vance. It would be Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. That is a team right there, man. And hopefully we can see something happen forward. All right. I want to shift gears. 901-260-5926. Welcome into it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in today for a Wednesday today. Yesterday, back on the home front here domestically, the U.S. Supreme Court has been discussing probably one of the dumbest conversations I've ever heard in my entire life. And I did not realize that it took super-duper expert legal scholars in the nation to decide what the gender of female versus male may or may not be. I did not realize it took a super-duper high education of really smart people in the nation to make a decision on what gender is in the United States. I did not realize that it took that much brain power to figure that out. I thought we had this kind of figured out, I don't know, 6,000 years ago or something, but apparently not, and now it's at the Supreme Court, and even the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing a case like this really, to me at least, shows where culture is. The hearings yesterday were kind of interesting. I did hear a little bit of tidbits here and there of the attorney that's advocating for the actual commonsensical standpoint of what a male and female was answering a question from Clarence Thomas yesterday on exactly what this stance looks like.
States have long assigned students to sports teams by sex. West Virginia is no different. Maintaining separate boys and girls sports teams ensures that girls can safely and fairly compete in school sports. The question today is whether this enduring structure can continue. It can. Title IX permits sex-separated teams. It does so because by law...
Okay, hold on. Before we go any further, I want to remind you, for those that may not know what Title IX is, Title IX was created for women, right? We had a world when women were, you know, the civil rights movement, and women were trying to be in the workplace, and women were trying to not be abused and taken advantage of by men in athletics or in certain college areas or affirmative action or whatever, that we created Title IX for protections of women, particularly in athletics for high school and college, to make sure that men don't come in and dominate it. And the progressives, the left side of the aisle, were the ones that hyped this up back in the day, where feminists, where wicked wild thinkers were creating equality for everyone, and it was all great. Now we have a Democrat Party that is saying that we're going to change what Title IX is, and Joe Biden tried to do this under his administration, to include transgender individuals, a.k.a. allowing men to pretend to be women, to come into athletics and dominate all their records, beat up all the women, take over the entire industry and be like, we're here for women. They're the ones with the pink hat wearers, right? And for some reason, they're all for this whole Title IX issue. And that's what this case is about right now, is about how we define Title IX based on how we show a definition of sex and gender in the country of male, female, XX chromosomes, XY chromosomes. And that apparently is a very difficult challenge, again, to allow the super-duper elite of this nation to have to duke it out in court to figure this out. That, to me, seems like a kind of a waste of taxpayer money, a little bit of a stupid conversation, but here we are in 2026, right?
It does so because biological sex matters in athletics in ways both obvious and undeniable. The text, history, context, and structure of the statute, alongside regulations expressly authorizing what West Virginia has done, confirm as much.
All right. It's kind of a weird conversation for sure. And now we have to have this all the way. I mean, if we have a decision at the federal level, I guess that lays down the law. It really stamps that approval of what a man, what a woman actually is. It's weird we have to have that, but welcome again to society in today's terms. That's where we go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline, where Todd, on his latest Newsmax TV program, sat down with Bruce Pearl with the Auburn men's basketball team to discuss some of these issues, and this is what they had to say.
Well, joining me now is the great Bruce Pearl, a senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute. I've got to call you coach. I hope you don't mind, Bruce. But I'm just curious. You've had a front row view to how all of this is actually impacting young student athletes. And I'm just curious, how has the transgender movement impacted women's sports?
Well, Todd, it's great to be with you. Why are we here? I mean, how are we even having this discussion about whether or not boys should be playing against girls? It just doesn't make any sense. I had the great privilege, Todd, of coaching alongside the legendary Pat Summitt. Pat's not here to talk, so I'm going to sort of talk for her. I watched those girls train. I watched them in a weight room. I watched them in the court. Try to become a Lady Vol and live up to the standards of being a woman and playing at the highest level of intercollegiate basketball. They've earned that right. But it would be completely unfair and unsafe to ask those women to play against biological men. And I can't believe that in this country's desire to be fair to everyone, we're not able to make that distinction. It's not safe. It's not right. Last thing I would say about this, Todd, is look what we've done with Title IX. It's been amazing how giving women the same rights as men to come to college, to play sports, to be able to compete on an equal playing field, which is what it's all about. Women came to colleges that may not have thought about going to universities before. It's changed what our campuses has looked like, scholarships. And so why mess with a really good thing?
You know, Coach, Becky Pepper Jackson is a 15-year-old biological male, declared himself a girl in the third grade, and now he is the one at the center of today's Supreme Court hearing. Let's take a listen.
Sport is something that everybody should have the opportunity to do if they want to. And we should all be able to have that chance, even if like people don't want it, like it should still be there for them. I wish these people would educate themselves just so they would know that I'm just there to have a good time. That's it.
All right, so this guy, Coach, he placed third in the girls' discus throw in West Virginia last year. I'm just wondering, does his biology infringe on the opportunities that young girls might have in sports?
Of course it does. And Todd, we were raised right. We're supposed to protect our girls. We're supposed to protect our women. You're supposed to protect your daughter, and I'm supposed to protect my granddaughters. And I want these individuals that want to be able to play in sports to play in sports. But girls should play with girls, and boys should play with boys. I mean, back in the day, there was a men's room and a women's room. It wasn't very confusing. And if I was in high school and I saw a gal in the men's room or a guy in the women's room, that would be okay. They'd be going down to the office. I don't understand why this is an issue.
Coach, what have those young athletes told you back when you were coaching? What were they telling you about these transgender athletes?
You know, Todd, what they were talking about is the sacrifices that they're making as athletes, how hard they've had to work and how hard they've had to train, and how meaningful it was to be able to be on a team and experience what it's all about and the leadership and the sacrifice to be part of a team. And now, because there are some boys that are wanting to play on those teams and some schools feeling like they have to give them the opportunity to play, it's taking away opportunities for girls. And that's just not wrong. That's wrong. It is not fair. And what I'm concerned about, as much as I am about them winning their awards and getting their medals and all that stuff, is just the safety and security. I mean, I was with a young lady last night that was playing volleyball, and she got smashed in the face by a ball that was slammed down on a spike from a man. And she had some real problems with her eyesight and a lot of different things. So we've got to protect the women, their rights to be able to compete in a fair and a safe place. And so I hope it's 9-0. And you know what? If it's not 9-0 in the Supreme Court, something's wrong.
Well, we know at least one of them doesn't know what a woman is, so we've got that going for us. Coach, before we let you go, I think ultimately all of this, again, it's not a political issue. I actually think this is a spiritual issue. I think it's an attack on the very idea of God, a God who created male and female. That's what I think this is really all about. I know you're a man of faith. What say you?
Well, I agree with you completely. And there's got to be a very clear, you know, separation. I can tell you that sometimes when I go to synagogue at an Orthodox church, the men are sitting where the men are sitting, and the women are sitting where the women are sitting. There's a very, very clear distinction. God makes a very clear distinction. Therefore, I'm going to make that distinction. And there's plenty of room for all of us. We just got to keep everybody safe and keep it fair.
Well said. All right, Bruce Pearl, great to see you. Thank you for joining us here on Newsmax this evening.
All right, so that again, that was Todd sit down with Bruce Pearl with the Auburn men's basketball team. Great conversation, and Todd's absolutely right. That's the only conclusion that I think we can come to a conversation like this, is it's got to be a spiritual war, because I understand there's a lack of common sense in the world today, but that's taking the lack of common sense to an entirely different level. That is the only other logical explanation on why we're having such ridiculous, stupid, absurd conversations in society today. Your thoughts on this when we come back at 901-260-5926. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program, 901-260-5926. If you want to jump on the program, the Title IX battle with the Supreme Court, still a wild one to me. And when we make the decision, while the Democrats try to say, like we had heard from Whoopi Goldberg earlier, she goes, "Where's the government? Why aren't we actually seeing any type of government oversight or something, right?
Where is the government? Do you realize we don't have a government?
Oh, you because mean we don't have given all their power away.
Yes,
they do nothing.
This is a huge and should be our biggest bitch right now.
It is.
That should be. Yeah. Because all of this is happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no one doing checks and balances.
There's no system.
Where is the government? Why aren't they doing their job?
Where is the checks and balances? So here's the question then. If the Supreme Court comes out and makes a ruling, because they are they're supposed to interpret the law of the land. In my opinion, I think we've given the Supreme Court just a little bit too much power over the years by always turning over to the courts to make a decision, to always use them as a political arm, primarily from the left side of the aisle, to try and use it for a political agenda or to stop a certain political agenda from the opposition. We've given them way too much power, but we still have, for the most part, the idea of a checks and balance system. If the Supreme Court comes out and rules that there is a biological difference between boys and girls, which, golly, if they can't make that decision, then we have a serious problem. If they make that decision and they make that ruling under the checks and balance system, will the Democrats abide by it? Will they support it? Will they agree with it? They'll shut up about the issue and we can move on when it comes to women's sports and Title IX protections. No, that would be my prediction. No. Why? Because they'll just say that it's corrupt and now we have to stack the courts the next time that we get the majority, reinforcing the idea that these elections and midterms really have consequences. We got lots more coming up for the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here. Welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes. Again, if you want more information on Todd, he has his Newsmax TV program, his books, he's got the radio program and more. You can find all the information at ToddStarnes.com. If you want to find my information, you enjoy the program when I fill in for Todd, which thank you for listening and hanging out with the guest host for today. You can find my information at HoosierReason.com, H-O-O-S-E-R Reason.com, the same handle like that on all of your social media pages as well. With the Todd Starnes radio program, we want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. Every day, Americans make choices that shape our country's future. That's very true, right down to which cell phone provider that we support. Here's what most people don't realize. Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless provider. They're an activist organization funded by selling top-tier cell phone service. They've been on the front lines defending our freedoms for long before it was cool, standing in the gap when others would not. The best part, that they deliver prioritized premium service on all three major networks, giving you the same or even better coverage, backed by 100% U.S.-based customer support. You can get unlimited data plans, you can get mobile hotspots, international roaming, and so much more. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you'll help grow a movement that fuels the Christian conservative cause. Every bill you pay here helps advance the values of faith, family, and freedom each and every day. Switching is easier than ever, and you can activate your phone in minutes. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade to whatever you want to. Take a stand today. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call 972-PATRIOT and use the promo code Todd for a free month of service. Who the heck doesn't want that, especially after all the holiday shopping you just had trying to get your budget back under control? Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT and make the switch today. Speaking of, I want to go over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker hotlines with all the issues going on today, the protesting, the psychology of the world today. Kind of a crazy place. As on the line with us, we have Dr. Carol Lieberman, known as America's Therapist and host of the Terrorist Therapist podcast with Dr. Carol Lieberman. Carol, how are you, my friend?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, great to have you back on. I got to ask you the mindset. I can only imagine where we're at with the mindset of the other side of the aisle right now, Carol, but the protests, the violence. We've seen the shooting on that happened just a week or so ago up in Minneapolis with the protests against ICE. We have this ICE watch all over the nation. People are just angry. What's the mindset right now? Because I would think standing in front of a vehicle or blocking traffic for law enforcement is probably not the smartest thing to do.
Their rage is making them go out of their minds. Their rage is driving them crazy. I mean, literally. And the thing is that it is a rage that can easily and has easily shifted to the problem of the week or the, you know, the fall guy of the week. In other words, you know, it could be just as easily ICE as it was to the police, as it was to Trump, as it was to, I mean, you just pick, take a pick. It's like whack-a-mole. They're just trying to get rid of anybody or any group of people who, and of course, anti-Semitism, can't forget that, get rid of the Jews. But it is so, like, it's so disingenuous. And it is so you know, psychotic, so hysterical, because they can so easily move from one person or group to another. You know, it's just they're looking for outlets to express their rage at the world, at their life. Really, what it is they're not happy. They're very unhappy people.
Yeah,
and they want to you know, the world hasn't given them, their life hasn't given them what they want. And so what they do is take it out on people who they think, you know, they blame this one this week and that one this week, that week, and just, you know, just to let everybody know how angry they are.
Yeah.
And it is really, and of course, you know, I cannot forget to mention Trump derangement syndrome, because I've been working for almost a year now on refining the diagnosis of Trump derangement syndrome, because I'm just about ready to propose it to the American Psychiatric Association for inclusion in their diagnostic and statistical manual. So some of this is also Trump derangement syndrome, because, like, for example, ICE, you know, they see ICE as an extension of Trump, or the police as an extension, because Trump is trying to bring law and order and get rid of illegal migrants. So they see him in all of this too.
Yeah. There's a lot to cover there for sure. That is hilarious, by the way, and well done on trying to prevent Trump derangement syndrome as an actual mental issue, because it really seems to be prevalent. These individuals, like you said, the victimhood status, which is just reinforcing this mindset, I've never been able to make it much in life, so therefore I'm just going to be angry about everything. That can't be healthy for you, is it, Carol, to say that I'm just going to wake up in the morning and say, I'm so angry at the world, I need to find something to go and fight because I'm just not happy with my life.
Yes, that's what it is. And, of course, logically, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's, you know, and these are people who, they didn't just wake up and have this, first of all, some of it has been sown into them by the education. You know, people who are younger, the younger generations, have been taught to do this, literally taught to do this, to hate America. Mm. So, but it's, these are people who, you know, didn't do well with authority from the time that they were kids and with their parents. I mean, so much of this is like teenage rebellion.
Is this, you know, I was going to say, is this the generation that never got told no, maybe the participation trophy? The Now, look, I'm a millennial, so yes. I, you know, my generation's known for this, but the generation that was never told no, their parents were more as friends than they were actual parents, that they got everything they wanted. And now that they're in the real world, and they, I said it before, that when Donald Trump won the first time, for that generation, it was essentially the first election that they had lost because they had had Barack Obama growing up and getting whatever they wanted at that time from their side of the aisle, that they're not used to being told no and they don't know how to handle
it. Yes. Yes, that is a big part of it, too. Of course, you know, it's sort of both sides. Like, on the one hand, it's been, they haven't been, they're not used to being, they want their participation medals, yes, their ribbons. But also they're angry. A lot of them, you know, I guess depends on which generation and depends on which, what kind of parents you had. But a lot of them started by being angry at their parents. I mean, you know, that's part of it too, that is happening now.
Yeah.
There is such rebellion going on by people, by the younger generations. Because, you know, like, for example, people who have been taught to hate America, and who are therefore leftists, hate their parents if they are rightist, you know, if they're conservative.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing that's happening now too. Same thing with, like, for example, the parents or mother, at least, of the woman, you know, Miss Good, who does bad in Minneapolis. You know, she was apparently her parents, or her mother was conservative, is conservative. And so there is some literal rebellion against the parent.
Interesting. It's wild. We'll talk with Dr. Carol Lieberman. She is known as America's Psychiatrist, also host of the Terrorist Therapist podcast. You can find all her great information as well with her show on voiceamerica.com. You mentioned a little while ago about anti-Semitism, which is becoming shockingly more prevalent in society. I'm not quite sure why, but it's here. We're seeing the lack of protest or lack of support from the ones that have been screaming for free Palestine from the river to the sea. Israel's just an evil nation that wants to take over the Muslim communities in that area, all this other garbage. We're seeing a lack of support for the Iranian revolution right now. Why do you think that is?
Yes, it's very interesting. Because they get more pleasure out of hating Jews and Israel than they do being, you know, for the people who are protesting against the Iranian, you know, terrorists who are running the country. It's not as much fun to be for something, although, you know, in some cases, I mean, they are, like, yes, they are for Palestinians and for Gays for Gaza and all of that. I mean, the ignorance, you know, because I've been doing, since 9/11, I have been doing work, I mean, you know, dedicating myself, a lot of my time, to helping people cope with terrorism and to waking people up to the ongoing danger of terrorism, the ongoing threat. We're more in danger today than we were at 9/11. And yet we have people who are so ignorant. You know, the Gays for Gaza, for example, Netanyahu talked about that when he talked to Congress about Gays for Gaza are like chickens for KFC. I mean, yeah. They don't realize that if they were in the Middle East, they'd be thrown off rooftops. People are so ignorant about so much, particularly about terrorism, that they don't know. They don't know which river, which sea. They don't know. They don't care. They just want to be able to stand up there and shout.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really strange. And for the ones that say that they're there for the people of Palestine, they've been persecuted. They've been, you know, the genocide happening from the Israelis and the Zionists into the people of, you know, the Gaza Strip and Palestine. It's very strange. And then we look at this Iranian issue, and I would think that for the feminists, the pink hat wearing radical left wing Democrats, yeah, that want all these rights for women, would support a revolution in Iran, especially where women are seen as less than, you know, subhuman. They have to cover their entire bodies and cover their face and everything, and that they would be supporting this type of revolution. So, like you said, it's either TDS because Donald Trump wants the revolution, so therefore they're okay with this terrorist regime, or they just don't care because, like you said, it's not about the emotional connection of actually fighting for what they say. They're just doing it because either they're being paid for it or because it's a Jewish.
Well,
and here's the crazy part, Carol, is that we're hearing apparently the talking points against supporting the revolution is because the revolution's being supported and funded and organized by the Zionists, and apparently the Jews are the ones that are trying to topple the Iranian regime.
Yes.
Carol, this is a crazy world right now.
Yes, yes. All of these crazy, ideas that are just whipping around. and, you know, you would think, because in general, the leftists were the victims, right? Like the supposed Palestinian victims.
Yeah.
So you would think they would be for the citizens of Iran who are the victims.
Right.
But they don't. That doesn't compute.
It's wild.
In fact, in New York, do you know, I just did a podcast on this, my Terrorist Therapist podcast, which actually is on, it's on my website, terroristtherapist.com, and it's also on, you know, wherever terrorists are found, wherever podcasts are found.
I love it.
But my latest one that is going up probably today is, about it's the best of times and it's the best of times, it's the worst of times for terrorists. And so I was going through all places all over the world, you know, where it's good for terrorists and bad for terrorists. And of course, in most of the places, it's good for terrorists, including New York City. And of course, we have Mamdani. But also, do you know, and I didn't know this until I was doing research for this particular episode, or I forgot about it, I don't know. But this year will be the fourth anniversary of the NYPD's hijab day.
Wow.
Like commemorating the NYPD. Now, you might ask, why does the NYPD, support the terrorists basically running Iran? And I mean, here, yes, we're all, here these women in Iran, particularly right now, are taking off their hijab, to show their refusal to be subjugated anymore. And in New York, they're having a celebration.
We're celebrating it.
I mean,
what a wild time! It's a crazy time to be alive for sure. It's hard to fathom that's where we're at in society. Carol, we got a couple minutes left here, but I want to shift gears and talk about the violence in the United States. Obviously, the assassination of Charlie Kirk a few months ago, the attempted assassination of President Trump a couple of years ago. Are we seeing, and from what you're seeing from a psychological standpoint in society, because of the rage that we're seeing from one side of the aisle, are we starting to see the normalizing of political violence in our culture? And is that something that we just have to accept as a reality, or can we do something about it?
Yes, unfortunately, we are seeing more and more the normalization of violence because these people are not getting punished. Yeah. I mean, it should have been from the get-go that these protesters at colleges and all that should have had some punishment. But instead, even for those colleges where they did call the police, and those were very few, the police would take them in and let them out the same day, just like with criminals. This is a very dangerous situation. You know, we are at risk. All of America is at risk of violence coming to your town, like towns that were quiet, where you never, like, other than New York City or other than Washington, D.C. or places or Oregon, places where we've come to expect violence. Even just hometowns, quiet hometowns. Nobody, it's getting to the point where nobody is safe to go out of the outside. Which, of course, is going to be intensifying the agoraphobia that we developed during COVID when we weren't allowed to go outside in some places.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of people still wanted to do that. We're seeing people fight left and right still to try and do remote working and work from home because they don't want to go out into society. Yes. And that's dangerous, right? I mean, that isolationism, that loneliness, that's one of the leading causes of mental health problems right now.
Yes, yes. Way before COVID. Studies, have shown that isolation in itself, for just people who isolated, can cause all kinds of physical problems like heart attacks and strokes and all kinds of physical problems, and as well as psychological problems. And when you're staying inside, you develop paranoid ideas about the other, you know, the people who are outside. It's very dangerous all the way around.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. It is Dr. Carol Lieberman, the Terrorist Therapist podcast. You can go and find it on her website. You can see the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting sites, also known as America's Psychiatrist. We need to get our mental health back on track and get our brains back to normal for some common sense and reason. And I think we're moving in the right direction, but there are some that are fighting it tooth and nail. Carol, we got to get you back on and do it again soon, my friend. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Dr. Carol Lieberman right there, America's Psychiatrist and the Terrorist Therapist podcast are on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. Got to take a break. One more segment around the corner with your phone calls here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Hey, welcome back to a Todd Starnes radio program. Got a few minutes wrapping things up today for a midweek celebration. And thanks again to Dr. Carol Lieberman, America's psychiatrist on the program, breaking down the mental state of America, which we have some work to do on that front. I'm always the eternal optimist when I get a chance to fill in for Todd and chat about these issues. Dylan, confirm if you've seen this trend as well. I saw a headline yesterday, I want to say, where apparently Gen Zers, the younger generations, are now looking at what they're calling digital detoxing and stepping away in large amounts of time away from screen time, from computers and TVs and cell phones, and just reconnecting with nature, having some personal time, going into meditation mode, or just actually having physical interaction with other human beings and not doing it on a chat group on social media. Are we seeing that trend grow, do you think?
I believe so. I've known a few people that are Gen Z, and I'm Gen Z myself, and I've participated in this. It's very helpful to realize your brain is fried, so like it's time to maybe get off the phone a couple minutes a day, or you know, a whole day, and deleting your social media every now and then is a good idea. It's not a bad
idea. Is a really good idea. Yeah. Now, I know we do it for the radio programs, and we do it for, you know, watching the news and trying to inform people on what's going on. I get it, and it's turned into almost like a full-time business itself already. I saw every week I get my screen time report and summary from my cell phone, and it says I'm on there like 12 hours a day. And that breaks my heart because that's a lot. I want to do some detoxing myself. Go check out ToddStarnes.com. Go check out the Newsmax TV program tonight. Thanks again, Todd, for owing to let us fill in. We'll see you back on the radio here soon. Bye.